first one reads, Dave, you said that anywhere we go, God has spoken through his creation. Is it possible that people who have never heard of the gospel of Jesus can be saved?
I don't think so. I believe that there's salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. And so I think people have to have the gospel preached to them. I think that is the injunction that is upon us because of the declaration of the gospel. Neither is there salvation in any other than Jesus Christ. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. What does that mean? I think, again, for the person who has never heard, but if they start pursuing after the Creator God, looking for the true God, God will bring the message to them. I've read some books where that's happened in pagan jungle places, you know, where people, I know the story of a guy that's a medicine man kind of thing, but he started having this emptiness and started searching and started seeking. And God brought a missionary and brought the gospel to him. So I have to go on the basis of what the scripture says, there's salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. So I really think people have to know Christ.
2 Corinthians 4:4 says that it is the God of this world that has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Is it sin or Satan that keeps me from seeing the truth?
I'd have to say it's both. Sin blinds us, Satan blinds us, and the more, you know, basically we're born blind spiritually. We're born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. We're born with a heart that automatically is turned away from God. And so God, by his grace, has to start putting factors into our life that are going to waken us up, in a sense, open our eyes, open our hearts, enable us to come to him. So again, our blindness, in one way, our death, spiritual death, goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And because of Adam and Eve, we're all born in sin. And so we're already born with a sense of not that we're looking after God, but actually we're running from God. And that's why the gospel is, again, we have to go after the lost with the gospel, because it's the gospel that saves them. It's the gospel that opens their eyes. It's the gospel that sets them free to come to Christ. If you want to talk more on that, whoever asked that, let me know.
How is it that unbelievers can presumably hear the truth and then suppress it if they're spiritually dead?
Because that's a natural reaction. If you're already spiritually dead, you have no interest in the things of God. And so an unbeliever can come to a church service over and over again, and they're going to just keep suppressing that truth unless God begins to do a work of putting a spark of salvation into them to bring them to himself. And that's why there are people who have sat all their lives in churches and never come to Christ. We've got to seek after Christ, and that's the call of the gospel. That is our responsibility, to say to people, run to Jesus, look to Jesus, turn to Jesus. Because if they don't, they will have no desire to do that. So we've got to challenge them to do that.
On Monday morning, we will work and live with Romans 1 people in a Romans 1 world. What should I do?
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. I think as Christians, our responsibility is to live as godly a life as we can before the lost. Our responsibility is to pray for the lost, because God uses the means to accomplish his ends and his purpose. And God's mean to save a person means, and included in that is, people pray, people live, people care, people witness. And we keep praying, and we take opportunities to share the gospel or expose people to the gospel, that person may very well be saved. God uses all things. He is not just the ultimate cause of everything, but he works in every cause and everything that happens. All things, he is working in them for his purposes, for the good of those who love him.
Verse 29 says, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, etc. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, etc. This is all seems a little bit extreme for the average, she'll be right, look after your mates, hardworking Aussie. Just look at what the Aussie spirit was like shown in the floods.
Well, that may be hard for people to stomach, but the fact is the Bible says that's what we are. I think, again, our problem is we still want to cling to our own self-righteousness. And so, you know, the idea is, yeah, I'll help out. There's a problem. I'll get out there and do something. And that is still an evidence of what we call common grace. There's still common grace upon people because we have the benefits here in Australia having a Christian heritage where we've had the gospel preached for hundreds of years. And the fact is, there's still that remnant of what we would call common grace that is evident here. You know, you think of jungle people and people that have never heard the gospel. You know, again, like I read the story of Peace Child years ago and the kind of stuff they did in the area of Gyra, you know, where they're slashing each other's brains out and stuff like that, you know. They never had exposure to the gospel. But we can be blessed. I mean, we are blessed by the very fact that we've had a Christian exposure. That we still have those remnants within us. It doesn't mean we're saved. We still need the gospel of Christ to be saved. But there's still those traces, you might say, of common grace.
What about those who have a genuine faith in Christ and are trying to live a Christ-like life and struggle with sexual immorality? Does this mean God is angry with them?
If we are in Christ, God has loved us so much that He provided salvation for us. And if we are in Christ, we will still struggle with sin till the day we die. But the fact is, if we stop struggling, that's a bad sign. A person who has been saved through Christ is a person who will struggle till the day they die sometimes. But the fact is, we can expect progression. We can express growth in grace. We can expect that. Yeah, I mean, you know, you look back at your life and sometimes you say, I struggled with that sin for 10 years, but finally the Lord delivered me. And that happens. And there's a lot of Christians could testify to that sort of an experience. But the fact is, we are growing in grace. As soon as we stop, that's the danger. As soon as you're no longer bothered by your sexual sin, then you're in a dangerous position. And that's why, you know, again, when I know I've got a sin, I've got to hate it and say, God, deliver me from this. And I need to look to Christ for the power to turn from Him. And if I ever give up and say, well, that's just the way I am, then I'm in a danger zone. Because having the Holy Spirit is a spirit of conviction. And He'll keep convicting us. So don't suppress the Spirit. Listen. I'm not saying that you're not saved. If you stop battling, if you just give up, that's a bad sign. Keep on, keeping on.
The last one. I'm not sure about the context of this, but I'll just read it out. It says, in what way can Christians approve of unrighteousness? And it says, Romans 1:32, that says, though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them.
Okay, I don't think that's talking about Christians giving approval. I think this is talking again about the depravity of a person. You know, he's basically saying, they know God. Here's the thing. I was trying to explain verse 32, and these are things that people naturally know just by looking at humanity. The fact is that people are going to die. I don't know if anybody here thinks that if they're going to, you know, 100 years from now, you're still going to be alive. Very unlikely. We're going to die. Everybody dies. It's kind of a law of humanity. They also know that there's cause and effect, and so, you know, as I said, if you do these things, you can expect the consequences. You know, if you just eat like a hog, smoke like a trooper, you know, drink like a, you know, go through all that, you're going to ruin your life. Because that's the consequences. And people know that. There are consequences for our actions. And I think that verse is not talking about Christians, it's talking about unbelievers. The fact is that there are some things they know, and it's just evident because of human nature.
Thanks, Dave.